And welcome to Stop the Presses.
Your host, Mark Anderson. It is 2 p.m. Central Time, the 22nd of January, 2020. And as many are asking, will we have 2020 vision this year? Not just hindsight, but foresight to prevail in the ongoing fight for freedom. I believe we will. Uphill battle, to be sure. Like when we were in school, we walked through the snow neck deep, uphill both ways, but we shall prevail. Now, today I've got some grassroots news and some middle range news and some world level news, including a lot about the Trilateral Commission's latest machinations. And it's going to be quite interesting. Notably, there are some important books that I'm putting out there. I've had Mickey Paletta of Mortgage Defense Systems on here recently, and the paperback version of Universal Bankruptcy and Economic Bondage, a trade paperback book, has sold rather briskly. And I think we're out of the trade paperbacks. We're coming out with a hardcover of that book. We're still going to have it very reasonably priced, no more than $19.99, I believe, counting shipping and handling. And I'll have to double check if there's any more trade paperbacks left, which we're going for $12. But I'm pretty sure we're going to go to the hardback books. I'll soon announce when they're available. They're at the printer right now, I understand. A great book because it gets into the actual mechanics of modern banking. Therefore, it has to be a little dry in a few spots because you got to do a little bit of math. But it's worth the effort because most of the books on central banks and the illicit banking cartel in our debt-based money system within the monopoly of credit don't really get into these mechanics, modern money mechanics, as the Federal Reserve itself calls them, and that's very important to understand. So I'll keep listeners posted on the newly printed hard copy cover, that is, of Universal Bankruptcy and Economic Bondage by Mickey Paletta, with co-authorship by yours truly. I also wrote the foreword. Other important works, while I'm on that context or on that subject, are Alice and the Money Tree. This is a great hardback, smaller book, but hardback, especially for homeschoolers and those that want to use a little rhyme and verse and kind of a children's book approach to spread knowledge about how the illicit banking system and debt-based money system works. Alice and the Money Tree by J.W. Briggs, a British author. John W. Briggs, Alice and the Money Tree. You can get a hold of me at truthhound2@yahoo.com, truthhound@yahoo.com, or contact me through the station, republicbroadcasting.org. This show, Stop the Presses, I'm Republic Broadcasting, runs 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. That's 3 to 4 Eastern, of course. But that's another great book. That book goes for only $10 hardback. Great for homeschoolers. Great to buy. Maybe buy an extra copy. Donate a copy to your local library. A great way to spread the word in reading groups. And it's just another innovative way to understand the money racket. In this case, in a very entertaining way, a very poetic way. A unique book through and through. So get a hold of me about that one as well. And that's enough cheap, shameless plugs for the time being, I believe. I may reiterate some of that toward the end of the show and any other matters that I want to publicize along those lines. But as I noted, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going solo because there's a lot of material to cover that just comes from my own work as a reporter. I like to pound the pavement a bit. I'm not just an armchair commentator. And coming to you from McAllen, Texas, we'll start there. And very recently, the 16th of January it was a fine day except for something kind of washed ashore here in the fine city of McAllen, a very populous place in Hidalgo County, a border city. And what quote-unquote washed ashore was none other than Duncan Wood, who heads up the Wilson Center, the Woodrow Wilson Center's, let's get this straight, Mexico Institute. He's the director, in fact, of the Wilson Center's Mexico Institute. Now, the Wilson Center is among this constellation of think tanks and institutes, many if not all tax exempt, that line the streets of Washington, D.C., particularly Massachusetts Avenue. That's Think Tank Row in D.C. I've been there many a times. That's where you'll find the Carnegie Endowment, the Peterson Institute for International Economics, PIIE, they call it PI for short sometimes, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, which was investigated by the Rees Committee in the 1950s and suspected of outright subversion of the United States. That's just to name a few along the think tank row there. Another matter of fact is the Center for International Studies, the Paul Nitze School, as it's known, named after a noted diplomat from the U.S. Lots goes on there. And the Wilson Institute is another. I'm not sure if that one's on Massachusetts Avenue like many of them are. But the Woodrow Wilson Institute is another. A big light there, a major figure, is Jane Harman, a former Democratic congresswoman who was partly instrumental in putting together that favorite law of all of ours, the Patriot Act, when she was in Congress. At any rate, Duncan Wood made his way to McAllen, Texas, in my neck of the woods, Hidalgo County. And what's interesting is through a liaison of mine, we were able to attend the meeting. And what we learned was that border cities, even relatively smaller cities like McAllen, of course, it's nothing like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, it's nothing in size compared to them. It's a sizable and populous area, but it's not nearly as big as those cities. Of course, you expect those big cities, many of which declare themselves under Democratic leadership, to be sanctuary cities. You expect them to be soft on border laws, soft on border security, and things of that nature. Major for free trade. A particularly free trade without tariffs, without any regulation meaningful at all. Laissez-faire, you might call it. You expect those big cities to be that, but you get down to these medium-sized cities and you don't quite expect them to be so deeply involved in the whole Washington, D.C. think tank circuit, because that's a very distant place for South Texas, of course. But come to find out, the city of McAllen is quite involved with the think tanks in D.C., particularly the Wilson Center, and therefore is compromised, it appears. I won't say fully, but it appears to be compromised in terms of, in any way, agreeing with or supporting President Trump's efforts to secure the southern border. Therefore, there's a lot of rhetoric out of these border cities against finishing the wall, the border fence, as some call it. Therefore, there's a lot of rhetoric against having a citizenship question on the 2020 U.S. Census forms. And sure enough, the mayor of McAllen, Jim Darling, was on TV last year, particularly later last year, in the latter part of 2019, running ads where he was advising that the Trump administration should not require there to be a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Now, this is troubling in some ways because if you just count people and you don't take into account who are citizens and who are not, you're going to get inflated population figures, although many that cross the border and live in South Texas are transient and will end up living somewhere else in Texas or even beyond Texas. But some will stay here, and so to have no provision for counting non-citizens, you get inflated population numbers. Therefore, you have inaccurate representation in the U.S. House of Representatives, which, of course, is proportionate to population. It's based on population. That's how it's apportioned. So you have that, and you have federal money being allocated on the basis of, again, synthetic inflated population numbers from the census because you're not differentiating between citizens and non-citizens. So this is just one thing that McAllen Mayor Jim Darling last year had been pushing against that citizenship question, of course. But now come to find out at the January 16 program, at the McAllen Performing Arts Center. The mayor of McAllen, Jim Darling, shows up and introduces Duncan Wood from the Wilson Center as the keynote speaker that day, the Wilson Center's Mexico Institute. And Jim Darling says the following to the audience, quote, "We go up to Washington every year, take all of our people, and listen to what a great job the Wilson Center does," end quote. So that's quite interesting. Again, you might expect it of a Houston mayor where there's a World Affairs Council chapter there, or San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, where there are World Affairs Councils chapters in those cities. In fact, there are 90-plus World Affairs Councils under the umbrella of the World Affairs Councils of America organization in D.C., an umbrella organization, 90 or more littered throughout the United States, almost like mini CFRs, you might say. They all tote the same line. And so the city of McAllen, especially since Mayor Darling's been in there, I'd have to look up how many terms he's been in, is taking junkets to the Wilson Institute, the Wilson Center, that is, in D.C. each year, evidently going back at least 3 or 4 years. And we have to wonder, of course, are taxpayers footing the bill, and how much do taxpayers know about these junkets, these trips? And he's taking a team up there, at least as his quote suggests. "We go up to Washington every year, take all of our people, and listen to what a great job the Wilson Center does." I'll repeat the quote. Very interesting. But what's more, as we cover the grassroots part of today's subjects, and again, I'll get into something that went on in Chicago regarding the Trilateral Commission moving up the ladder, and then the Trilateral Commission's latest big report. I'll be covering that today, mostly after the ads at the bottom of the hour. You're going to want to hear all about that. I'm going to get quite in-depth, dissecting the globalese language in which it's written. But back to the grassroots stuff here in South Texas along the border. In fact, the city of McAllen was a platinum sponsor, one of four, for Duncan Wood's visit on January 16th. And the McAllen Performing Arts Center itself, where the event took place, was another one of the platinum sponsors along with the city. IBC Bank, a common bank down here in South Texas, and the Monitor newspaper, that's the dominant, doesn't deserve it, but dominant daily newspaper here in the RGV, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and that is Hidalgo, Cameron, Willacy, and Starr counties. So those are the four platinum sponsors: IBC Bank, the Monitor, City of McAllen, and the venue, the McAllen Performing Arts Center. And what's interesting is it's almost the Bilderberg model of the way the media handles this. And I'll talk about this regarding the Chicago stuff today. The media is sponsoring these kind of World Institute, World Affairs think tanks, and getting involved in their events, helping bring speakers to town along that, along those lines. And yet the media, in some cases, will cover it, but many cases won't. At least in the Monitor's case, at least to their credit, they're both sponsoring it and covering it. But the problem is it doesn't appear to me that the Monitor is disclosing the fact that it's not just covering Duncan Wood's speech, but helping bring him to town. And in my opinion, that crosses the journalistic line, unless there's disclosure. There should be disclosure that the Monitor is involved in this event and is not just covering it. If they disclose that, fine. If they don't, it's a conflict of interest. And now there are gold sponsors as well. And these are the kind of things that many of us can ask in our own communities throughout the United States. When you are aware of the World Affairs Council of Indianapolis, or the World Affairs Council of Greater Boston, or the World Affairs Council of New York City, that's actually the Council on Foreign Relations, or perhaps in North Carolina, South Carolina, World Affairs Council of Kansas City, Western Michigan World Affairs Council. If you look up online under the World Affairs Council of America, or WACA, you can look up the institute near you that fits into this grouping, and you can look at similar questions, you listeners out there live and on the archive. This is how we can all get active. We can look to see if the area newspapers are sponsoring this but not disclosing it, and whether they're writing about it or not. If they write about it, they should disclose it. If they're sponsoring it and not writing about it, that perhaps is worse. So a lot can be gleaned from all this. Now, for Duncan Wood's appearance, the gold sponsors, of which there were 12, were Texas Regional Bank, Rio Bank, McAllen Chamber of Commerce, Plains Capital Bank, Frost Bank, the City of Donna, where they're building the newest border fence sections where none stood before. I've got photographs of those that I got myself. And the City of Farr, spelled P-H-A-R-R, which is just to the west of Donna, just before you get to McAllen. The Farr International Bridge, which is an actual port of entry, so the business panel or, board that runs that bridge was another sponsor, an actual port of entry. The McAllen Economic Development Corporation, the Star Bridge Company, that appears to be Star County to the west where Mission is, Perspective Hospitality, and Star County Administration Foundation. No, excuse me, Star County Industrial Foundation, along with IDEA Public Schools, which is a quasi-private school system, a very big one here in the Rio Grande Valley. So the 12 gold sponsors and the 4 platinum sponsors, excuse me, make up bringing this globalism to the Rio Grande Valley, and it inculcates this view that border security is mean-spirited, unnecessary, a losing proposition, don't build the fence, and so on and so forth. What Duncan Wood actually told the audience at the Performing Arts Center in his speech is not that notable. It's safe to say that the speech centered on the rise of the new, presumably populist Mexican president, Lopez Obrador, to explore whether Obrador is like Trump, a little bit of that. Is he or isn't he? If he is, that scares the one-worlders a bit, because that would mean Trump and Obrador would coordinate things. And in fact, there's some preliminary evidence they're doing that. But also looking at whether Obrador will revive the Mexican economy in a way that would improve border commerce, that interests the locals, and avoid further impoverishing the Mexican people. They claim to be interested in that. And there's a lot of curiosity by Duncan Wood of the Wilson Center about whether Obrador's decisions will be good for investors, the all-important investor class that the one-worlders are always worried about because they're part of it. And so that's what's been going on. It's very important, though, and what really matters here in terms of border security is here in the Rio Grande Valley, it's one of the main areas where the most trafficking of drugs and people enters the United States. The way it is now, and this is according to the Brookings Institution in a report they put out in the summer of 2018, the way it is now, there's a lot of gap. Let me describe those gaps.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live as of the 22nd of January, 2020. And I had mentioned before the break that I wanted to describe the situation before I move on to other matters regarding the border. I had thought, before I had an important breakfast meeting with some local activists the other day, I had thought that along the nearly 300 miles in the Rio Grande Valley Border Patrol sector of the U.S. border with Mexico, that there was about 60 miles of that that was fenced, which would be just shy of a fourth. 4 times 60, 240. Yeah, that'd be just shy of a fourth, going on a fifth. And that sector is from the Gulf of Mexico, in terms of river miles, the Rio Grande River, to the Falcon Dam, well to the west. And it is a considerable distance. It is a piece of real estate, let me tell you. Rather formidable in some areas. Lots of underbrush, snakes, difficult stuff depending on where you're at. And after I met with someone who has a lot of history here for breakfast the other day, come to find out we have less than 50, maybe 30 plus miles only of fence built in an area or sector, as the Border Patrol calls it, that's about 270 to 280 miles. So there's a lot to be done. And I learned from a Brookings Institution study on the wall, although it's biased, but it does show the wall sections where they're built. And it turns out that New Mexico and Arizona, California, New Mexico, and Arizona have much more extensive border fence sections already in place, and that Texas has the biggest gaps all the way from the border with New Mexico near El Paso all the way through some very wide open country through the Big Bend National Park and onward down as you come down toward Laredo, toward the Rio Grande Valley where I'm at. And of that huge area, and that is a huge area, the predominant areas where there is any fencing is in the greater Rio Grande Valley area. So this area is where there's the most fencing in all of Texas, but yet out of 270 some river miles, there's only, if we're lucky, 40 miles of fencing. And even some of that might have to be replaced. But the photographs, some of which I might make available on the RBN website soon, you can look for that. The photographs I took of the new sections of Donna, Texas area border fence sections going up, where none had stood before, represent some real progress. It's not as if there's a lot of fencing already and this is just patching in the final gaps. There's a long way to go. Most of it's in Texas, and most of it is needed here because everything is shifting here, I understand, to where this part of Texas is where most, maybe not a huge, you know, predominance, but at least most, mathematically, of the human trafficking and drug trafficking and whatnot is happening. So it's critical that the border cities here not be extremely against beefed up border security, because a lot of the contraband and the human trafficking is coming through here because it's been more closed off in other parts of the border, which is in total about 1,900 miles long and some change. This is why the city of McAllen, the city of Donna, the city of Farr, and these other entities I described in the part of the show before the first break, this is why it's so important that these cities and these other entities learn to be a little more objective, learn to be a little more logical and common sense about this stuff, and not be bought off through the globalist network tied to the Wilson Center, bringing speakers here, all the conflicts of interest and networking that I described before the break. This is the area where more fencing is needed. It's going up, and it needs to continue. Yes, there might be exceptions here and there. There's the National Butterfly Center. They have some concerns that the fencing would vivisect their property over near Mission in Palmview, Texas. And I understand those concerns. Maybe there can be provisions made there with drones, and maybe the fencing could not cut the property in half but be right down to the levee right by the river and not so far north. There's lots of different things that can be done to accommodate certain concerns. But overall, fencing where it should go needs to be built. And yes, there are some natural barriers, very mountainous areas as you get toward El Paso to the west, deeper parts of the river, cliffs and precipitous drops within the Big Bend Park. There are certainly some areas where border fencing either need not go or literally physically cannot go. So that, of course, saves money, because then you can build it where it's truly needed and not build it where natural barriers might be sufficient, and then you beef that up with drone surveillance and other means. And then, of course, there's the argument that there's lots of tunnels, and there are. I learned about that in Congress in the fall of 2018, the last time I was on Capitol Hill, and I learned from a debate there. Still building the border fence section. And a little bit more on the border right after the end.
A single smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to Top the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, 22 January 2020. That song there that you're hearing as I come in is called The Pass by Rush. And I'll just tip my hat to Neil Peart, the late drummer who passed away recently, the great drummer from that Canadian trio. Being a drummer myself, there's a lot that was lost there. A lot of us out there are aware of that. And I'm just giving it a brief mention. So hats off to Neil. At any rate, to accent or put a bow around what I was saying about the border, I think that pretty much sums it up. As I say, and it could hardly be overstated, we can all, listening out there live and on the archive, we can all be more aware of what's going on in our communities with these different World Affairs Councils and what the media is doing, how this is being handled. And we can contact them. We can make our views known. We can go to their programs and be a fly on the wall. We can do a lot of things. They are largely tax exempt. So under the IRS actually does something right. A lot of these institutes' programs by law have to be open to the public. You do pay an entry fee. There's a little bit of a cost involved here and there. Not too bad. But if you're going to be tax exempt, they're required to have a certain percentage of their programs open to the public. Therefore, they're trying to sell the local media and the local business community and your mayor on the narcotic of internationalism, you might say. And when you happen to be near the border, that really gets involved, that sort of issue, trying to dissuade people from supporting Trump's stronger border security measures. So, if anyone out there has questions about this, how to get involved, how to find out about the World Affairs Council near you, again, my email, truthhound2@yahoo.com, or you can contact me through the station, and that's the same email for ordering the books and studies that I sometimes peddle, shamelessly peddle. Now, moving up the ladder a little bit, it's interesting, too, another speaker came to another town, and this was January 14th, and the speaker in Chicago was none other than Joseph S. Nye Jr., N-Y-E, Joseph Nye Jr. Who's Joseph Nye? Well, from 2008 to 2018, he was the Trilateral Commission's North American Director. What's the Trilateral Commission, you might ask? Well, that was formed in 1973, so they just had their 45th year recently. And the bookends, the well-known globalist bookends that started that organization were your friends and mine, the late David Rockefeller and the late Zbigniew Brzezinski. And it's well admitted and well documented now that in the early 70s when they formed this Trilateral Commission, that they were instrumental in putting Jimmy Carter in the White House. Little known fact, but it's becoming a more widely known fact. Now, the Trilateral Commission, or TC for short, Trilats sometimes is their nickname, they're sort of the younger sibling of the infamous Council on Foreign Relations founded in New York City at 58 East 68th Street in the Harold Pratt House in the Park Avenue area of Manhattan. That was 1921. The organization where Joseph Nye just spoke in Chicago is the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. They used to be called the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations. They might have changed that 15, 20 years ago because that name became a little infamous, but it was founded as the Chicago CFR in 1922, just 1 year later than the New York one. Well, that is where, in the Prudential Plaza building in the Loop of Chicago, that's where Joseph Nye spoke January 14th. His topic, Do Morals Matter? Presidents and Foreign Policy from FDR to Trump. His purpose, if you kind of dissect it and melt it down, was to compare Trump to all the presidents since FDR, up to and including FDR. And in my opinion, and I think his speech bears this out if you look at it carefully, to diminish Trump in presidential standing compared to these others. Now, that line of presidents from FDR to Trump is an important segment of history in the one world international perspective that Nye represents. Why? Well, that's because they look at the world from World War II onward as their era, their predominant era. Anything before that, even though that included founding the Federal Reserve in 1913, the Spanish-American War with lots of meddling going on there behind the curtain, World War One, lots of meddling, lots of bad stuff going on. But all that was formative, preliminary, laying cornerstones. Once World War II happened, then they laid the bigger cornerstones and began to build the infrastructure, the architecture of the modern version or modern era or modern epoch of the New World Order, however you want to describe it. And that infrastructure, architecture, consists of the International Monetary Fund, founded at Bretton Woods, 1944 June, the World Bank, and what became the World Trade Organization. And that and a bunch of other diplomatic and political and economic arrangements are known collectively in the world of one world internationalism as the rules-based international order. Sometimes they get even more mouthy about it and say the post-World War II rules-based international new world order. But usually they take the shorter title. But it is in that context that these institutes operate, these one world institutes. And so it is in that context that Joseph Nye addressed the Chicago Council on Global Affairs on the 14th of January and lumped Trump in with these presidents, FDR to the present, and that line of presidents roughly represents that 70-75 year modern era of internationalism that they all operate on. That's their calendar, that's their timeline. And so, in so doing, Trump is put in a rather unflattering light comparing him with all these presidents since then. And so, now that you got the context, excuse me, here's what Nye had to say. quote, "The conventional wisdom is that only national interests matter. I've long believed," he added, "that's incorrect, and I've had so much help from Donald Trump," as Professor Nye quipped. He happens to be a Harvard Kennedy School of Government international relations scholar. And it's worth noting, before I read more of his speech, that's part of some reports I've got coming up in American Free Press and other outlets, it's worth noting that when he was introduced in Chicago, there was no mention of Nye's longtime Trilateral Commission pedigree. Similarly, when Zanny Minton Beddoes, the editor-in-chief of The Economist, spoke last October on the 4th of October 2019 to the same Chicago group, there was no mention of her Bilderberg pedigree, even though she's not only a regular Bilderberg attendee, she's on the steering committee, the very exclusive Bilderberg steering committee that decides where to have the Bilderberg meetings, highly secretive, when to have them, who to invite, and what topics to discuss. Yet, even though she was among friends, there was still no mention of her Bilderberg pedigree, and even though Mr. Nye was among friends, they still didn't mention his trilateral pedigree. Very interesting how tight-lipped this stuff can be. Dodgy, as they say in the UK. So, Nye had that to say, you know, he's pulling away from national interests. He's saying Donald Trump is making it easier for him to poo-poo nationalism because Trump seems to be a caricature of a president in the eyes of these folks. And he had a moderator, a Northwestern University law professor, Juliet Sorensen. So Mr. Nye speaking with Juliet, and she asked, "Should America try to make the world a better place?" Sounds harmless enough, right? Well, Mr. Nye replied, and this is fairly logical, giving him some credit, "As long as we understand the limits of our power," he said. And in his view, a president doesn't have to give up on his own nation, of course. And that's kind of a throwaway comment. You almost have to say that. But even though presidents like Trump and anyone else around the world, leaders wherever, can look at their country and help their own country, they should still look further, take their allies into account, and what they do for their allies is just as important as what they do for themselves. Professor Nye then wondered aloud, thinking out loud, you might say, should the U.S., quote, narrowly and, quote, myopically focus on immediate transactional matters, as he called it, largely in the U.S. own direct interests, which is, he said, like Trump, or different from Trump, should the U.S. look broadly for a stable world order? And he recalled the policies of FDR and all the other presidents up to Trump, and then he answered Sorensen a little further by saying that, in his opinion, there really isn't much of a dichotomy between nationalism and internationalism because through institutions like the United Nations, a lot can be done to encompass both national interests and the interests of other nations simultaneously. Now, at first blush, that sounds kind of okay, right? And in some respects, maybe it is, you know. These guys are not dummies. They're just dedicated to an extremist internationalist position, but they're not dummies. And so, you know, I would even say that other nations' interests should not be altogether ignored. But what's going on here, partly, is that there's this implication that President Trump is so focused on the United States and its betterment that that's completely at the expense of other nations, and that he's an almost total isolationist, and that if he's allowed to go any further, he'll almost altogether neglect or put aside other nations' interests. Now, for the record, that's not true. President Trump, and I've talked to a number of people about this, and a Notre Dame law professor. This Notre Dame law professor, Michael Desch, made a very good point that Trump is a Jacksonian, not an outright isolationist where he's putting a moat around America like they like to characterize things, nor is he a full-blown internationalist by any stretch, but a Jacksonian, And Michael Desch, the Notre Dame professor, said this at a Chicago Council on Global Affairs meeting as a little bit of a counterpoint. And I talked to some others, and that seems to be the case, that Trump is not an outright isolationist anyway. We can judge whether or not that's good or bad. So at the very least, the Joseph Nyes of the world are mischaracterizing the 45th president. You know, not being accurate about what he really is. Now, if you listen to what President Trump, at least in part, had to say at the current World Economic Forum, that annual event in Davos, Switzerland, very elite, open but elite, he is coming on very strong about the U.S. wanting to pursue largely its own interests, particularly economically, but politically, and with regards to constant bemoaning and gnashing of teeth about climate change. So, you know, Trump is a bit of a chameleon in a sense, in the sense that he'll sound more nationalistic in some venues and a little less so in others. But he is sounding more nationalistic, very strongly so, from what I've heard at least, coming out of the World Economic Forum that probably winds up in another day or two. I'd have to double check, but it's happening right now as I understand it. So, Professor Nye went on to give his mindset, a look into his globalism mindset, you might say, inadvertently, unwittingly, I think. He referred to his new book, and he defined Presidents FDR, Harry Truman, and Dwight Eisenhower as the founders. Get that, the founders. Now, that would be easy to misinterpret, looking at the context of these kind of folks, as I often do. It's one of my specialties as a reporter. And what he means is the founders of the still reigning world order, the rules-based world order that's been around for about 75 years, the one I described a little earlier in today's show. But that, I think, is a rhetorical device to steer us away from the fact that the real founders were names like Washington, Jefferson, and Madison, and that they, particularly Washington and Jefferson, but even Madison, I believe, were against entangling alliances, political, military, with other nations. Commercial relations, friendly relations with all, as much as possible, yes. But entangling political, military alliances with none. America was to be different, and it was to get out of this bind that Europe often presented to the nation states there throughout history. Entangling alliances, feuds, and fiefdoms, and all sorts of things going on. And so our founding fathers clash philosophically very much with the founding fathers of these globalists. We have Washington, Jefferson, Madison. They have FDR, Truman, Eisenhower. And it's important to point out there that the FDR, Truman, Eisenhower racket brought us the perpetual war footing that we're on. Not only does the U.S. police the globe due largely to the policies of these presidents, but the U.S. is almost constantly at war. The U.S. has been almost never not at war since World War II and the Korean War. FDR got us into World War II through what many have proved, in my opinion, to have been a well-known and well-anticipated attack by Japan at Pearl Harbor. There was absolutely no surprise there whatsoever. And FDR got us World War II. Truman got us into the Korean War, the first undeclared war through the United Nations. And Eisenhower helped defeat the anti-war Republicans such as Senator Bob Taft, the great Mr. Republican as they knew him, out of Ohio. And he was among the last of the anti-war Republicans. You see people like Rand Paul and Ron Paul bringing back that classical Republican before they became the neocon clan, wanting every war they could ever possibly want to get into. So, very interesting. This is how they reframe things through the Joseph Nyes of the world, through the Trilateral Commission, and he was bringing this message forward, again, to diminish Trump, in my opinion, at least for the most part, because Trump is making a little bit too much of a difference, warts and all, like him or hate him, or in between, he is making a very discernible difference, not just with real border security, but with pushing back on many avenues along the advancements of the international world order. I'll be back with some more comments in closing remarks after this message.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And returning for the last segment of Stop the Presses today on 22 January 2020, your host Mark Anderson. Thanks for listening live and on the archive. I had promised to get into a Trilateral Commission report in the second half. I gave a little more information perhaps than even I expected to give on Joseph Nye's speech in Chicago, building on what's been going on down here in South Texas in the first half of the show. But I can get into it a little bit, and I will try and share this later today, first thing tomorrow, and get it up on the RBN website, republicbroadcasting.org. But right about the middle of last year, and this is meant to go well into the future, the Trilateral Commission published a new, very pivotal sounding report, Democracy is Under Stress, Recreating the Trilateral Commission to Revitalize Our Democracies and Uphold the Rules-Based International Order. Now, it contemplates 2020 to be a very pivotal year. Of course, it's an election year for the Donald Trump that they really don't care for. I already alluded to that in how Joseph Nye, out of the Trilateral Commission fold, compared Trump rather unfavorably to all the presidents going back to FDR in their favorite era of the United States. I talked about that right before the break. And they are looking at the Trump era and the roadblocks that that has presented to further globalization. That includes Trump pulling back on the Paris Agreement out of 2015. He pulled back in 2017. It includes him redoing NAFTA. It includes, I think, also the new China deal with the current U.S. trade representative, who has a more populist, nationalist, less internationalist outlook. A number of things Trump has done, things he's said, the border security improvements he's trying to make, getting Mexico more involved, patrolling its own southern border so fewer people are migrating here in the first place out of Central America, making it easier to manage here. What I understand is more processing of asylum requests on the Mexico side of the border, so people, migrants, are not getting such a foothold in the United States while they're being processed. These things don't sit well with the one world crowd, largely. But it's very interesting, and I will post this report. It is a public report, publicly available, and put it online at the Republic Broadcasting website. It'll probably end up on my blog soon, thetruthhound.com. That's my main blog, thetruthhound.com. I'm also on Twitter at twitter.com/STPNewsman. That's STP, like Stop the Presses. twitter.com/STPNewsman. facebook.com/thetruthhound, all one word. Those are some of my other outlets along with this show on RBN. I also do newscasts under the banner World Impact News. You can Google or Start Page or DuckDuckGo World Impact News, Mark Anderson, Jason Mangum, M-A-N-G-U-M, and you'll see a slew of news videos that I'm producing. The latest one that's about to come out is a pretty in-depth piece on the border, including some film footage along the border where the new border wall sections are being built near Donna, Texas. Lots of interesting things. And don't forget, you can order the Alice and the Money Tree, a great hard copy book. Just contact me through the station. Only $10, a great deal. Check it out. We'll see you next time here on Stop the Presses. Have a great afternoon and great week.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.